Would you please take the Word of God with me and turn in your Bibles to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 37. And we are continuing our study in the book of Genesis. We come now to chapter 37. Last week we looked at the generations of Esau. And we made several points about that generation. And we come now to chapter 37. And we see the generations of Jacob. And it is clear that we find two different directions. We ended chapter 36 with all the generations of Esau. What was their end? They all died. And here we come now to Genesis 37. Notice verse 1. We'll read down, if you would, a few verses as we are introduced. We've already been introduced to Joseph, but the main focus of the remainder of the book of Genesis is going to be on Joseph, although we have Judah coming in and out, and also Jacob coming in and out, and the book of Genesis ends with Jacob's blessing upon his 12 sons there. And so we focus particularly on Jacob here in verse 1 of Genesis 37. The Bible says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob." Now that's, again, in contrast to the generations of Esau at the beginning of chapter 36. And, well, actually, it doesn't say Anna. It just says Joseph. "Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his father, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the son of Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Now here, it is interesting that this is not typical of the following of "these are the generations of." Typically, it just goes on and talks about their sons and who their sons marry and all those things, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so on. Here, we are introduced right off the bat to Joseph. Think about it. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17. And that's how we start in this chapter. The focus is immediately drawn to Jacob. Now, when we'll see in the passage in just a moment, in just a few moments, when Jacob gives the blessing to his sons, he says that Joseph was separate from his brethren. And Jacob, in the blessing, he is reminded. And so I want to preach this evening on this as we are introduced to really Joseph, specifically in this passage. Already he's been mentioned before, but we are introduced to him and his character. And the focus is going to be particularly on him for the remainder in the book of Genesis. But I want to preach this evening on this, separate from his brethren. That's who Joseph was. Again, if the book of Genesis is to be divided in each generation, we now move to the last major division of the book of Genesis, from chapter 37 through chapter number 50. But what is interesting is that in each case, the focus is on the son through whom Christ would come. Right? In Abraham, it was Isaac, not Ishmael. And the sons of Isaac, the emphasis is on Jacob and not Esau. But here, we know that the lineage of Christ would come through Judah. But the focus is on Joseph, and particularly because of his character. Some have said that there is no one in the record of the Old Testament that has the record and the testimony of Joseph. As a matter of fact, there is really not anything that people can point to and say this is a great shame in the life of Joseph. Unlike many of the Old Testament leaders, unlike his father, his grandfather, and his great-grandfather, who had many flaws that we've studied and mentioned, Joseph is a great example of character. And so I want, if you would, to introduce ourselves to Joseph, which we will look at particularly in the remainder of the book of Genesis. Now, I'm not going to preach through the whole book of Genesis, all right? It's just going to be the first few verses that we read this evening. But notice here, these are the generations of Jacob. The majority of this section, again, is focused on Jacob's son Joseph. However, the next chapter, Genesis 38, is focused on Judah. Now, the reason why the focus is placed upon Judah is because of the lineage of Christ, which would come from one of Judah's sons by the name of Perez, who is mentioned at the end of Genesis 38. If you go back to or over to Genesis 38, notice in the last two verses, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out, and she said, How hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore, his name was called Perez." Now, Perez, if you go back to fast forward to Matthew chapter 1, is in the lineage of Christ, and so would be the son of Judah, and we find that. And so that's why that is given to us in Genesis chapter number 38. Now, it is interesting to see that neither Judah nor Joseph were the firstborn sons. Reuben, we know, was the firstborn son. Reuben had forfeited his birthright with his immorality with Bilhah, his father's concubine. The explanation of what happened with the birthright is summed up in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Now let's go there and look at the reason that is given in the Bible for Reuben not inheriting, if you would, the birthright nor the inheritance. The Bible records for us how this was divided in 1 Chronicles 5, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright, for Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph." So understand how really the birthright was divided. Judah would have the lineage of Christ, the blessing, and Joseph would have the greater portion. We know that the portion in the division of the children of Jacob were divided. Joseph got a greater portion, and it was divided to his sons equally, and they both had the greater portion. And so Reuben lost of that, and the Bible tells us why he lost that, because he defiled his father's bed. And so Reuben has that charge upon him. Now we continue here in Genesis 32, verse 2. The Bible tells us these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his father, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, after opening with "these are the generations of Jacob," the Bible mentions Joseph, but right off the bat, which is really not done anywhere else in the Scriptures when it concerns genealogies, the age of this young man is given. Joseph, being 17 years. Now, think about the significance of that, because we are about to be introduced to a man whose character is unequaled in the Old Testament record. And as we are introduced to him, the Bible points out to us his age. He was 17 years old. So Joseph was full of good character as a 17-year-old young man. Is not given only to those who are older in age to be wise. The younger ought also to be wise. Joseph is a great example of character and conviction. The earlier one begins to live for God, the less wasted years he will have to deal with. And so Joseph was not wasting any years here, although his brothers had wasted a great amount of years. As a matter of fact, we could say that Joseph's brothers did not get serious with God until the famine. But Joseph, right when he was 17 years old, we are introduced to him as a young man of character, even in his young age. In 1 Timothy 4:12, you remember what Paul wrote to Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young man, a young pastor, and Paul writes and he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." And so, although you are younger perhaps than the majority of those in your congregation, don't let people despise you. You ought to be an example. And may that be a challenge for all of us, that wherever we are in life, our pursuit ought to be people of character. Now, before we consider our text, we consider the first mention of Joseph in Genesis chapter 30. So let's go back here to the first time that Joseph is mentioned in Genesis chapter 30 and read two verses there, verse 22 down to verse number 24. Now notice here, the Bible tells us, "And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, and said, The Lord shall add to me another son." Now that other son would be eventually Benjamin, that we learn of the birth there of Joseph. Now, it is significant here because there had been at that time, when Joseph comes on the scene, there had been jealousy on the part of Rachel because Leah, her sister, had children. Rachel had seen Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah all give birth to sons. 10 of them. 10 sons had been born in the family before Rachel had given birth to her firstborn son, Joseph. What we learn about this, I believe, is important because in the first mention of Joseph, our attention is drawn to quality and not quantity. Because in this whole fight of jealousy, what was Leah interested in? Having more sons. And then we know that Bilhah and Zilpah were both used as tools to have a greater number of sons. And so the competition there was about who is going to have the greater amount of sons. And so here, what we learn in the Word of God, the first time we see Joseph, we see that the quality is more important than the quantity. And Joseph, certainly, his character was greater than all of his brothers combined that came before him. And so Leah and Rachel were fighting about the amount of sons they would have, but God is interested in the character of the sons. It is better to have one son of character than to have 10 without character. Now, what do we see Joseph here as a 17-year-old young man of character doing? The Bible tells us back in Genesis 37, verse 2, that he was feeding the flock with his brethren. Now, this tells us right off the bat that Joseph was involved in working for his father. Now, often the picture is painted of Joseph, that Joseph was, he was just favored of his father, and so therefore he never had to work. He was tender and good, and so he never went out and worked with his brother. Actually, that's not the case. As a 17-year-old boy, he was out with his brothers attending to the flock. Now, by the way, that is before the rank is given to him with that robe. Before he did that, he was out with all of his brothers tending to the flocks. But the Bible shows us here that he was a man of character. He was faithful in his duties. And we know that the report that he's going to give of his brothers is while he's tending to those duties. The Bible tells us, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife. Now, the sons of Bilhah is Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah is Gad and Asher. Now, those are the four that are mentioned in our text by their mothers. Now, we have already seen the wickedness of Reuben, right? The firstborn. Reuben, being the firstborn, went and he defiled himself. We also have noted the cruelty of Simeon and Levi in the killing of the men of Shechem. But we also learn here of the evil of Joseph's other brothers, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. There is certainly a bleak picture painted of the sons of Jacob. It really wasn't until these men went through the famine that they seemed to humble themselves before God. And so there is no indication for us anywhere in the Scriptures that all of Joseph's brothers were godly men of character. In this case, we learn of other additional sons who were doing evil as Joseph was working with them, and he gave an evil report of those four brothers who he was tending the flock with. But then there's furthermore, the Bible says, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now here, Joseph's godly character brought God's blessing and honor, but it also, we're going to see in the subsequent chapters, it brought him much trouble and suffering from his enemies, his brothers. So on the one hand, his character was praised of his father, but at the same time, that same exact character was criticized and maligned and troubled by his very brothers. And by the way, that is such in our world today. If we are determining to be people of character, I believe that God will honor that, but we must also be fully aware that the world will repudiate that character and not be pleased with that. I remember working in the warehouse when I was in college in Tennessee, and I worked at the dealer's warehouse there, and they furnished basically contractors. And I remember, growing up, I was taught to work hard, and so I showed up at the warehouse and people that had been there for a long time, and I just got to work, and it was basic, unloading trucks, loading trucks, stacking the shelves, pulling orders, and doing all those things. And it's funny because I began to work and people said, whoa, slow down. or that's going to wear off. People were, it seemed like, disgusted with the intensity wherewith I worked. And so to me, I thought, well, that's just what I was instilled in me. And I thought, well, my dad always said, when you are on the clock, you better work as hard as you can. If you do not, you are stealing from your employer. So that's just how I grew up. And so I worked as hard as I could. And so on the one hand, the managers were pleased with that. But on the other hand, the coworkers were not pleased with that. To some, I was an enemy. To others, I was honored. And such is the world that we live in. You see, the same exact thing can be interpreted in two different ways. And so here, I was reading a phrase in one commentator says, purity always does this to a person. It promotes the finest of blessings, but it also provokes the foulest of buffetings. Some accuse Joseph of tale-bearing. Wow, he went and told his father. And so I want to deal with this here because what made bringing this evil report the right thing to do? What made this report not fall in the category of tale-bearing? Now think about that. Now with our children, here's an example. With our children, we've encouraged early on, if your brother or sister is mistreating you, do not retaliate. Come and tell mommy or daddy. Okay, now that seems like something that is normal to say to a child, but guess what happens? Then, shortly after that, they come and tell us everything, whether somebody did something wrong or not. And so we have to now have a balanced approach and say, okay, we don't need to hear that. That's really does not matter. That's really not important. And so there's those extremes. And so we do want to hear when somebody does something wrong. But at the same time, we don't need to hear every single thing that somebody else does. And so what is the distinction here between Joseph giving a report that is a good thing to do and tale-bearing? Let me just give it in this way. What made this report not fall in the category of tale-bearing? Well, let me point out what a tale-bearer is. A tale-bearer is someone who gives information, first of all, to the wrong person. Just gives information, just to give information to someone who does not need to be concerned about that information. That is a tale-bearer. Who does it concern? A tale-bearer is someone who gives that information to the wrong person. But furthermore, a tale-bearer is someone who is careless about the facts. What is the reporting about? And often a tale-bearer is involved in, using some embellishing terms about a story or about a record, something that is not accurate. But furthermore, a tale-bearer is someone who takes it upon himself to give that information. Why is he giving that information out? Now, I believe that Joseph can answer those three questions in the appropriate way. First of all, who did Joseph report the information to? Well, the Bible tells us he brought unto his father their evil report. Now, the Bible makes it clear that Joseph brought this report to his father, Jacob. Remember that Joseph was 17 and that he was feeding the flock with his brethren. Whose flock was Joseph feeding? Jacob's flock. It was not his brother's flocks. It was not his own flock. It was his father's flock that he was tending to. And so, because it was Jacob's flock, and there was that responsibility that was placed upon him, and also his brethren, him giving that information to his father is the right thing to do. Joseph and his brothers had been tasked to care for the flock, yet the other brothers were doing evil. Therefore, Joseph had to bring the report to his father. And by the way, certainly, being in that position, he was required to bring that report to his father. So who did Joseph report to? His father. That's the right person. But secondly, what did Joseph report? Well, the Bible says he brought unto his father their evil report. Joseph's brothers, it's already been established, were known for their evil deeds. It is summed up this way. The book of Genesis reports murder, Genesis 34:25, immorality, Genesis 38:12, hatred, Genesis 37:4, envy, Genesis 37:11, the selling of Joseph into slavery, 37:28, lying, Genesis 37:31-33, and by these older brothers of Joseph, all of which shows the awful bent to evil that existed among them. Therefore, an evil report of all of these men is not unexpected, it is not hard to believe, and it is not difficult to validate. He just simply brought an evil report. This is not surprising to see Joseph reporting the evil to his brothers. It is not unreasonable for us to see that Joseph was justified in bringing this report. You see, talebearers often tend to exaggerate the facts and distort the facts to make their report more juicy. The talebearer feels that he cannot help himself to speak about others. But that's not here what Joseph does. But furthermore, we ask the question, why did he give that report? Well, the Bible says he gave this report to his father, their evil report. So there's really two reasons why Joseph gave this report. First of all, because of his accountability to his father. You see, one commentator put it, he says, being in high character, he would not suffer his father to be deceived by a false estimate of the conduct of his sons, which would include the care of the flocks and the condition of the flocks. You see, in this particular case, Joseph brought this evil report to the one person who could correct the behavior of his brothers. And really, in this case, nobody else would be concerned for the character of these young men and for their evil deeds but Jacob the father. And so the reason why Joseph brought this report is, first of all, because of his accountability to his father, but secondly, because of his fear of God. He brought an evil report. It is also clear in the life of Joseph that he feared the Lord. Joseph did not want to permit evil to continue. Why? Because he loved the Lord. The greatest example of that in the life of Joseph is seen when he was serving in the house of Potiphar. And there was nobody, the Bible tells us, in the house, nobody to see. And Potiphar's wife came to him and grabbed him and wanted to lie with him. And what did Joseph say? He didn't say, I can't do this against Potiphar. He didn't say, I can't do this against you, Potiphar's wife. I can't do this. He said, I can't do this against God. He had a genuine fear of God. And so therefore, whether he was in public or in private, Joseph was a man who feared the Lord. And that is why he gave this evil report. Because of his accountability to his father, and secondly, because he feared the Lord. Now here is the point. Because Joseph feared the Lord, he was separate from his brethren. That is what separated Joseph from his other brothers. When Jacob gave the blessing to Joseph in Genesis 39:26, the Bible tells us, the blessing of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bond of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Well, what was separate about Joseph from his brethren? He feared the Lord. He feared the Lord. You see, character must be something that we highly emphasize and value in our lives. I was reading this illustration of two daughters using a mirror. One gentleman in California had two daughters in their early teens. One was fair and attractive of features. The other was rather plain. One day, as they were getting ready for school, the better-looking girl peered into the mirror beside the face of her unfavored sister. The latter complained to her father that this was done as a reflection of her lack of looks. Instead of growing angry or taking sides, the father called both girls to himself and gave them this excellent advice. I want both of you to look into the mirror every day. You who are favored of feature, that you may be reminded never to dishonor the beauty of your face by the ugliness of your actions. And you who lack beauty, that you may hide your lack of it by the superior attractiveness of your virtue and your beautiful conduct. You see, we often emphasize the wrong thing, do we not? That's why when God told Samuel to find the next king because Saul had been rejected being king, God made sure to tell Samuel, look not upon his countenance, because God doesn't see as man sees. God looks from the heart. When Jesse brought forth his sons, Samuel thought himself, oh, surely he is the one. And God kept saying, no, 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 no. And Samuel had to say, is there anybody left? Well, there was. David was out in the field, tending the flock. You see, it seems that there's something about David that was not appealing to the sight. He's not a good potential, but to God he sure was a good potential. And by the way, every king was measured by King David after his reign. He either did as his father David, or he did not do as his father David. You see, David was called, furthermore, a man after God's own heart. And so we understand that character is important here. But we continue back in Genesis 37 as we are introduced to Joseph and his clear character and distinction to his brothers. And we now come to verse 3 where the Bible says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now here the Bible tells us that Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, and he made him later a coat of many colors. Now, we could say at this point, well, okay, Jacob was unreasonable because he loved Joseph more than his brothers. And the Bible seems to tell us here that it's only because he was the son of his old age. And so often people say, well, that's unreasonable because the only way that Jacob looked positively on Joseph is simply because he was the son of his old age. I do not believe that's what the Bible teaches here. The phrase son of his old age in our text does not refer to how old Jacob was in years, but I believe it refers to how mature Joseph was in behavior for his age. Now, let me explain that if you would. I was reading here the expression here, and there's a Hebrew phrase that is often coined about a wise son. It is one who possesses observation and wisdom above his years, an old head on young shoulders. Matthew Poole, in his commentary, says, the ancient words, thus a wise or prudent son, old age being often mentioned as a token of prudence, one born old, one wise above his years, one that had a gray head, as we say, upon green shoulders. Remember, Proverbs 9:10 tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what separated Joseph from all his brothers was his fear of the Lord. That's why he had wisdom beyond his years, because he feared the Lord. Proverbs 8:13 says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And certainly Joseph hated evil. You see, the reason why I believe the expression the son of his old age is to be referenced to Joseph's maturity is because Joseph was not the youngest son. You see, Benjamin was truly the son of Jacob's old age. Therefore, Jacob's age is not in view here, but rather Joseph's character. You see, Benjamin was born when Jacob was about 100, while Joseph was born when Jacob was 91. So if the gauge of a child being more loved by his father was because he was the son of his old age, then Benjamin could take the claim. But no, Joseph had that claim. Now the immediate context of our passage is Joseph's character. And here the Bible tells us now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, because he was a mature young man. He was a young man who had character beyond his years. One commentator put it this way, he says, if being the son of his old age was the reason of his affection, Benjamin had the best claim to it, being the youngest and born to him when he was still older. Therefore, we conclude that it was character, based upon our text, not chronology, that determined Jacob's preference for Joseph and his love. Furthermore, the immediate context is focused on Joseph, and particularly Joseph's character, which I believe we come to this conclusion, that Jacob loved purity. We should love also holiness. There would certainly be things that would cause great grief to Jacob, namely in his 10 other older sons, who were immature and who were ungodly. You see, I believe that here Jacob rewarded Joseph's character. That's how we're introduced to Joseph. Look at the timeline. Joseph, 17, tending the flock. But he gave a report of his brothers, their evil report. And because of that, Jacob loved him more than his brothers because he was a man of maturity. And then we find later that because of that, Jacob gave him the coat of many colors, a place of honor and favor. So the emphasis of our passage is on character, particularly the character of Joseph. And so the Bible tells us that Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Let me pause and say this here. This idea of love here, we must be careful, because when we read passages such as, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, we must not understand those in the sense that we understand it today, but rather in the biblical sense, that simply Jacob received more favor than Esau did. For example, when Christ, remember, it says, if you do not hate your father, mother, right, then you cannot follow Christ. Well, he's not talking here, but he says, who are you more favorable to? Are you more favorable towards the Lord or towards your family? So this idea here of Jacob loved more, I would put it this way. Today, I believe that any reasonable parent treats their children based upon their children's behavior. The Bible, the book of Proverbs, tells us that a wise man leaves his children an inheritance and his children's children. Now, when we think about inheritance, I believe there's a biblical mandate for a father to properly make wise use of the funds that have been entrusted to him. And so imagine this. If you have two sons and one of your sons is living an ungodly lifestyle and your other son is full of character and he loves the Lord, the one son over here, you know, if you give him the money that is due to him in his inheritance, he's going to spoil it and he's going to make unwise use of it. But the son over here is going to make wise use of it. Then what are you going to do? You're going to favor the one who has character, and you're going to pass on your inheritance to that son who has character and not to the son who is going to waste that inheritance. It has nothing to do with, at that point, that you love one more than the other. It has the idea of who you're going to favor when it comes to passing on a blessing and inheritance. You see, certainly if you give your inheritance to a son who is evil, it will give him a greater ability to do that which is evil than if you reward the son and commend the son who does that which is good. You're encouraging him in his goodness. And so, Joseph was honored and favored by his father above his brethren because of his character. You know, the Bible speaks much of that. As we continue here, he says, and because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat, notice, of many colors. And when his brethren saw their father love him more than all of his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, what did Jacob do then for Joseph? He made him a coat of many colors. Now, what was this coat like? Well, the idea here of a coat of many colors is basically this. It's an outfit that would stand in distinction than the regular shepherd that he was before. Before, when he was working with his brothers, right, he was in the field with all of them. There was no distinction between them. But now this coat was a large coat. The signification of this coat would be something that would come all the way down to your wrist and a robe that would flow all the way down to your ankles. Now, that was not the customary outfit for a shepherd. Shepherds typically would have vestures that would come right below the knee, and they would have most likely short sleeves, mostly. But here there would be an outfit that would be distinguished from Joseph's brothers to himself. So when we speak of a coat, that's what the coat was like. It was a long coat that went all the way down to the ankles and all the way down to his wrist. Now, what did this coat mean? Well, this coat indicated that the wearer had the rank of an overseer and a master. Now, understand, how old is Joseph? 17. That's got to be tough for the older brothers. This coat that speaks of an overseer and a master, it was not the coat of the common laborer. The common laborer wore a shorter coat, a normally knee-length and sleeveless, which was more suitable for hard labor than was a long-sleeved, ankle-length coat. Now, understand, Joseph has earned that position. Why? Because of earlier, when he was a shepherd. You see, Jacob honored Joseph because he was faithful in the smaller tasks, and so therefore he gave him greater responsibility as an overseer and as a master. And by the way, so it is true in the church today and in all the forms of life. You know, something that bothers today, the idea, and look, I'm not against union, but today the philosophy of unions is longevity, not performance, prevails. That ought not to be. A person's diligence and character ought to prevail over someone's longevity. And what's that done in many people's lives is encourage unproductiveness. Why? Because they have been there longer. Therefore, they are the ones who deserve reward. That is not the way God does things. God honors those who have character and those who have been faithful, as Joseph here has been honored and has been faithful. You see, this coat would indicate that Joseph had a higher rank than all of his brothers. This coat was offered to Joseph because of his character. You know, there's an emphasis in the Word of God on character. If you go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, here he is talking to Timothy and writing to Timothy about the requirement of those who desire the office of a bishop. And I want you to notice here the emphasis of our text in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Notice, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest he, being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And so, moreover, he must have a good report of them that are which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. And then he goes on to deacon. And what is the emphasis of this passage? Character! The only mention of ability here is he has to be apt to teach. But mostly the rest is character. And that is what is emphasized. It doesn't say anything about personality. It emphasizes character. You see, perhaps Joseph's brothers, some of them were maybe people who could take charge better, right? If you go back, you remember when Dinah was defiled, who took charge? Jacob's sons? They negotiated with the king of Shechem? Well, remember, they took charge, right? They were leaders. They went over their own father. At that time, you really don't see Joseph. As a matter of fact, you don't see him going to the town and killing. He was not part of that. He was not what we would call, he is a natural leader. But yet his character made him a great leader. You see, I will take a leader who has great character and not much ability than someone who has much ability but little character. And so here, Joseph was a man of character and he was honored by his father for his character. And notice the consequence. On the one side, remember what I said, character on the one hand will be honored and on the other hand will be buffeted. Criticized. Verse 4 says, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, why was he hated? He was hated for his character. You know, Jesus Christ promised his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 that if they live the beatitude life that he instructed them, that on the one hand they will be honored, but on the other hand they will suffer hatred. Notice in Matthew 5 verse 3, Christ is speaking to his disciples and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children. That's all character. Poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. That's all character. And then, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward. How can there be great reward? Because although they are persecuted, although they are reviled, although they are falsely accused, they can rejoice because of their character. They can rejoice because God sees their life and their walk with the Lord. So on the one hand, Jacob honored Joseph, and at the very same time, he was hated and despised of his brothers. Now we know where that would lead. They sold their own brother into slavery because they despised him that much. You see, often we ought to allow someone who has a great testimony in our lives to convict us instead of despising. You see, often what we do is we will begin to despise someone because we don't like our own selves. But what we ought to do is we ought to change that. And what his brothers, Joseph's brothers, ought to have changed is said, you know what? Let's look at how Joseph has lived his life to receive that honor. And maybe if our life was at such, maybe our Father would honor us as well. You see, may the Lord turn the tables on us as we think about Joseph's character and see the honor that he received, but at the same time, the despising that he received. Now, I want to take us here. The Bible says he was separate from his brethren. The Bible tells us that in Genesis 49. But I want you to understand what the separation brought in his life. The next few chapters are not good for Joseph. He's going to be sold as a slave. He's going to be bought by an Egyptian captain. He's going to be falsely accused of trying to rape his master's wife. He's going to be in prison, and he's going to be forgotten in prison. By the way, all because of what? His character. You see, Joseph could have got to the place as, I've lived the right way, and this is what happened to me. That's often the consideration of people's life. I'm serving God, I love God, I seek to speak the truth, and it seems that those who are evil and who are continually involved in evil way, they seem to prosper, they seem to be blessed, and yet here I am sitting in jail, and look at all my life, it seems that it's all been in vain. And not one time do you see Joseph at any moment complain. But what did all that bring about? What did his character bring about in his life? A great testimony, certainly. But also at the end, think about this. Joseph would become, in a physical sense, the savior of the world. See, what do you mean by that? Well, the worldwide famine? Who prophesied of the worldwide famine? Joseph did. Who organized the preparation for the worldwide famine? Joseph did. And who came in the famine and bowed before Joseph? His brothers did. So in the end, Joseph and his character said, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. You see, Joseph didn't understand throughout his life, he did not, why everything was happening. But at the end, after he saved his family from famine, he saw the hand of God in the testimony of his character, and he understood why. And may the Lord help us to see that our character is a lifetime thing. It is not something we say, well, I need a reward now for my character. No, it is a lifetime pursuit where we must keep our character and be faithful in doing that. And then at the end, God will show us all that accomplished. And so, may the Lord help us. Here as Joseph was separate from his brethren, may we also be separate from the world in our character. The truth is, the world, if you look at the Beatitudes here, the truth is the world reviles and discounts all the Beatitudes and character. It's no longer emphasized. The opposite are emphasized. But may we stay true to the Word of God and seek to live by the Word of God and say, Lord, help me to be faithful in my character. The Lord will honor those who are faithful. And we also must be fully aware that this is not anything new. If you are faithful to the Lord, you will bring with yourself the reproach of the world. But God's people who have had character have always gone through that. And so may the Lord help us to see that and to live by that. Let's pray.